Welcome back to the Highway 331 podcast. In this episode, we connect you with the director of Walton County Emergency Management, Jeff Goldberg. We discuss the importance of coordination and preparedness in emergency management. Jeff Goldberg has great command of his role and truly helps illuminate the importance of community involvement. Toward the end of our episode, we speak about volunteer programs that are helping inspire our community to take action, from our youth to the young at heart. We hope this episode helps you connect with all Walton County Emergency does for this community. It's finally here. We finally get to set up and speak to each other on this episode of the Highway 331 podcast. So thank you for joining me.
All right. Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I'm so glad that you reached out because I think a lot of people do not realize how much coordination you have to do with the public in order to do your job. So would you mind telling a little bit about what it is that you do as a director of the Walton County Emergency Management?
Obviously, it's internal coordination with other agencies, pre-incident as well as post-incident, making sure that all of the partner agencies as well as us are trained up to respond and recover from disasters. Response is kind of the sexy thing. It's the lights and the sirens and it's the life saving and all of that. But that's the sprint. The marathon is the recovery. And that's something that we prepare for pretty heavily as well. With that, we also work very closely with the public because we want the public to be prepared. I remember when I first got into this business, I've been involved in emergency management and emergency response for over 30 years. It was, we want you to prepare for 3 days worth of food and water for disaster. And now, particularly because of some of the catastrophic disasters we've had in recent years, we're looking at 5 to 7 days now before we can potentially get resources in for a major disaster. So getting that message to the public is something that we do on a year-round basis. And it's not just for hurricanes. It's for all types of disasters.
For example, even recently on 331, we had a tractor trailer turnover. And that's partly a position that they bring the Walton County Emergency Management team in.
Correct. We have what's called a duty officer program. So one of us, including myself, we take call 2 weeks at a time, and we have a phone number that gets forwarded to our county phones. It's the 24-hour duty officer number, and there are certain types of incidents that we get notified on. Sometimes those incidents require us to be out in the field. I happened to be on call during that tractor trailer overturn with the fuel spill. So I was on scene for 5 hours, helping coordinate resources and public messaging and working with the sheriff's office PIOs and sheriff's office and fire rescue staff, dealing with evacuations because we wound up evacuating the campground, Department of Environmental Protection. So those are a lot of the things that we do that the public, they think of emergency management, they think of us as the hurricane people when we are so much more than that. And we've got an amazing partnership with all the emergency services. The support I get from the county commission and county administration to basically allow me to run my department the way I feel it needs to be run and what we need to do allows me to work with the state legislators on legislative issues. Walton County's looked at as a leader in emergency management. There's whenever there's disasters throughout the state, we send staff. Myself and my folks went down to, and we don't do it all at once because we have to leave people here, but we go and so we went down to Lee County. I was the deputy incident commander. Katie Feeney, who's my operations coordinator, went down as an ops chief. Donna Free did some time as a planning chief. So we were in Lee County providing assistance after Ian. We had folks over in Suwanee County during Idalia. We've assisted with Michael. We've assisted with Matthew. And we're usually, if we're not affected, we're usually the first ones to get phone calls to help provide assistance because we have put such a good program together. And that's a credit to everybody involved.
Really is. And I think some of these alert programs that we have are some of the best there are. I wonder if you can tell people a little about the Alert Walton.
Alert Walton is our alert notification program. It's actually a state program under what's called Alert Florida. Mm-hmm. So what the state did, and they worked with a number of the county emergency management directors, is there is what's called the Catastrophic Disaster Trust Fund. So the $2 surcharge on your insurance that you get every year or however often it's billed goes into this Catastrophic Disaster Trust Fund. And out of that comes, there's the mobile home tie down program, the shelter retrofit program. There is one of our base grants, because part of our budget is funded by two major grants. One is federal, one is state. This one comes out of state. And then we kind of decided or felt that we need to have a statewide notification system, one platform that any county, any municipality, and as well as higher ed and other organizations can use to do alert and notification. We put in a request for proposal together on the state level. It was awarded to the Everbridge Corporation, which it's currently under right now. And now any municipality, any county agency can sign on to this program and use it for public notifications. We can send out wireless emergency alerts. We can send out the emergency alert system, a little crawl on the bottom of your TV. We've got the opt-in where you go to alertwalton.org and you can register for National Weather Service alerts. This program is free for us to use. It's actually saving Walton County about $75,000 a year. So the sheriff's office uses it. We're the program managers for it. We use it. The school district is on it. South Walton Fire District is on it. South Walton Mosquito Control. And there's a lot of other organizations that can sign on to it through us. And now they have the ability to send out messaging. The municipalities are in the process of signing on to it as well. So it's an incredible system, and it's an incredible tool for us to reach the public. And not just people that live in Walton County, but through the wireless emergency alerts, which is really the platform that Amber Alerts get put onto or sent out through. We don't send Amber Alerts. That comes out of Tallahassee. But we can use that same methodology and that same piece of the program to send out shelter in place, evacuation notices, all of those types of things. We used it during the Musset Bayou wildfires in 2020, which was another incident that we were keenly involved in on. Because again, it's not a hurricane, but it's something that we deal with.
Yeah, that was quite devastating. And I remember watching the smoke from afar and thinking about the people that are involved in trying to put that fire out and the people that were involved in losing their homes. But thank you for the work you guys provided. And, you know, I wanted to also point out that if we have everybody using Alert Walton, I imagine you don't get many comments from folks saying, I didn't know this was coming. I didn't know this was happening. Do you find that in Walton County, you don't have as many folks that aren't aware?
I can actually give you some numbers on how many opt-ins that we have and things like that. Before, there's a couple of different paths that we can take with this program. There's the opt-in where you go in and you register, and we can send the National Weather Service alerts go through that. And then we can also send other types of information through it. And that's an opt-in piece. Then we have another piece that is, I'll call it geographic notification. A lot of times people use the term reverse 911. Reverse 911 is actually a product. So it's a geographic notification. So what we do is we draw a polygon around a certain area, and we can key into everything on those locations. So it'll go to cell phone data. It'll go to landlines, white pages, yellow pages, 911 data. So even if it's a extreme emergency and you have an unlisted landline number, we can still send the notifications to that. So for opt-ins through Alert Walton, going into the webpage, we have right now 19,421 opt-ins. And that's folks, and that's continuing to increase. As far as record types that we have through the entire system, through a lot of different contact paths, we have over 100,000. So it does cover quite a bit of the county, but there's always going to be times where somebody says, I didn't know.
Yeah.
And if we get an email or we get a Facebook post that says, hey, I didn't know. Okay, here, sign up through this system, and now next time you'll know. We never rely on one method of communications for notification. During a hurricane, stuff goes on our webpage, the county's webpage, goes out on the county's Facebook page, our Facebook page, the Twitter, because we do have a Twitter, goes out through Alert Walton. And then we also have, there's a lot of public information officers throughout Walton County. So you've got ones that are with the sheriff's office and the different fire districts, even the constitutional officers, the clerk of courts, the property appraiser. They have people that deal with their social media. They're technically public information officers. So they're all in our network, and we're always echoing one another's messaging to make sure that the information gets out onto as many platforms as possible.
That's great. And, you know, it is true about the layering of information, because you just never know where you're going to capture somebody's attention. I do want to point out that before we met, I took some time to look over the website to see the different details. There's a whole section on preparedness. I know that you don't only want to mitigate things that are happening, but being prepared is super important.
Right. And you know, one of the things that we say in our line of work is all disasters are local. They start at the local level, they end at the local level. But at the local level, we're always also talking about businesses and personal preparedness, because that's one of the most important things, that you need to be prepared, or the public needs to be prepared for a disaster for when it strikes. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And then we provide assistance that the public needs. If we get to a point where we need assistance, we request assistance from the state. And if the state uses all of their resources, they request it from the federal government. And then as the incident winds down, the feds go away, the state goes away, and it's left with the locals. That's why we say it ends at the local level, starts at the local level, and ends at the local level. So we're constantly trying to do preparedness messaging. One of the things that we like to do when we talk about watches and warnings, and we can't take credit for this at all. We've stolen it from other organizations. I like tacos. So your taco watch for a storm watch is, here's all of the ingredients for the taco. So this is all the ingredients for a tornado or a hurricane or fire weather. We have fire weather watches. And then the warning is, now we've got the taco. Everything's there, and we're going to have tacos, or we're going to have a tornado, or we're going to have fire weather, or we're going to have something along those lines. That we try to do something, put our information out so it's understandable, because things can get very technical, but we want the average person to have that understanding. So we're always looking for ways to get information out to the public to get them better prepared.
Right. And that's, again, that website, it has the ability to help you make a family emergency plan, to build an emergency supply list.
One of the things that we try to talk to the business community about is business recovery planning, business resumption planning, business continuity planning. Regardless of whether you call it any of those three things, it's how do you maintain operations in the wake of a disaster? Over 90% of the businesses that do not have business recovery plans after a disaster will not be in business anymore. How do you keep your mission essential functions going? We do the same thing in government. We have what's called continuity of operations plans. So if something were to happen to, for example, the county administration building, which did happen at one point a number of years ago, they had a sewage backup. They had to relocate their operations somewhere in order to continue to operate. COVID was a prime example of issues with business continuity and continuity of operations, because people had to go work from home. So how is that process? And that needs to be kind of looked at into your planning process. I've worked in the business side where I've done business continuity and continuity of operations planning. And we break it down to, what are the things that you must continue to do? Then what do you need to do to continue doing those? And it's not a hard process. A business recovery plan or business continuity plan doesn't have to be huge. If you're a small business, it's a couple of pages that this is where we're going to go, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to continue to operate.
Yeah, it's something that can get overlooked when you're busy wearing so many hats as a small business owner, but also elderly folks who don't have somebody that's looking after them during one of these types of emergencies. Maybe just make sure that they know what's going on in the emergencies, what their plan is, and just kind of check in with your neighbors.
In the wake of a disaster, we see a lot of this. After disaster happens, everybody comes together. And everybody helps each other. And I say everybody collectively, it's okay, 99% of the people, you've always got that small percentage that zone. But for the most part, everybody comes together to help one another. And, you know, we get calls to our, when we activate, we have what's called the Community Information Center. So people call our Community Information Center saying, hey, I haven't seen this person in a while. Can you have somebody check on them? So we send fire rescue or law enforcement to do well-being checks during disasters. We did a lot of that during Hurricane Michael, even though we were not directly affected, because Bay County lost communications. Their calls were rolling over to us, and we were helping dispatch their fire and their law enforcement. We had voluntary organizations like the Cajun Navy that we had contacts with and had them go out and check folks. But everybody starts to look after one another, which I hate to see that only happen during a disaster. I'd like to see that happen all the time. And I think for the most part, a lot of people do check on their neighbors and make sure that they're good. I've got a few elderly neighbors in my neighborhood, and my wife and I try to kind of keep an eye and help them when we can.
We do the same. And I just feel like we need to always be connecting with each other as much as we can. And this is an opportunity to talk about it. And I'm thinking about questions I may not have asked you that you may want the general public to know.
Of helping your neighbors. We have a program. It's actually a national program. It's called CERT, Community Emergency Response Team. And the CERT program was founded back in the early 90s in California. One of the events that happened that helped push that was the Loma Prieta quakes. So LA County Fire was responding to calls after the quakes. And they found people, residents, putting fires out, dragging people out of rubble, giving first aid. And they said, people are going to do this. We need to train them. So in Los Angeles, they started this Community Emergency Response Team program. FEMA looked at it. FEMA thought it was fantastic. And boom, it became a nationwide program. I was one of the first handful of instructors in the state of Florida for this program. And we have a CERT program here in Walton County. We had one before I started, it kind of died down, and then we resurrected it. I started here in 2015, probably late 2015, early 2016. We graduated our first class. And we have a couple of different programs within that. We've got Catch and Release. And CERT is founded on neighbor helping neighbor. They learn basic search and rescue, basic first aid, preparedness, home preparedness, all of those types of things, so they can be better prepared and potentially help their neighbors in a disaster. So we've got Catch and Release, where people come in, they take the class. All they want to do is take the class. They don't want to do anything else. And they just kind of go on their business, which is great. That's how it was started. Then we have an actual team where we have over about 120, 125 volunteers and growing, where they're prepared to help themselves and their neighbors, but they also help the community and work as volunteers for emergency management, providing traffic management at major events, at special events. They will help answer the phones during a disaster when we're activated, do damage assessments. What else do they do? They help staff preparedness booths and help us with outreach. And pretty much anything we need them to do, they're more than willing to help do. So we have that opportunity as well. It's a 24-hour class. It's usually done over 2 weeks. Week one is generally Tuesday and Thursday from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Week two is Tuesday, Thursday, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. and all day on Saturday. So we have Gene Jack is our part-time emergency management specialist. He's our CERT program manager. We have volunteer leadership that helps run the program. And those were the ones that were really, really instrumental in our success during the COVID response, because they were our force multiplier. They were out there helping do things. So that's an opportunity for the public to become, number one, better prepared, but number two, also to kind of give back to our community and potentially have the opportunity to respond to other disaster areas under mutual aid. We had our CERT members go to Bay County and Jackson County after Michael, down to Hurricane Ian, down to Hurricane Idalia, and they do all of this. And we have one of the most recognized CERT teams in the state. We've built an incredible program here, and that's due to my folks and due to the volunteers. So if anybody's interested in that, they can reach out to me and I'll point them over to Gene, and Gene will get them squared away.
I love it. I think it's a fantastic program. Do you have them scheduled like monthly, or are they just maybe quarterly?
We generally have a training once a quarter. We're looking at a hybrid training where they could take the classroom portion online through FEMA, and then we bring them in. Everybody that's taken that class online, we'll bring them in on a Saturday to do the hands-on portion of it. So we're starting to look at some of that. Gene and Matt Perkins, who's our volunteer CERT coordinator, they're working on some things on that. And our CERT team is an award-winning team. We received a Voluntary Service Award from the Governor's Hurricane Conference. We received the CERT Team of the Year from the Florida Service Association. So I could not be prouder of my folks that have made that happen. And we're always looking for volunteers, you know, and it could be something as easy as they want to come into the, you know, do this and then come to the office once a week and help with filing. So we're always looking for volunteers.
Well, I think it's important to not feel helpless. There are times that in the last decade or two decades of living here with all the different hurricanes and all the different the fires we just spoke about, where you feel kind of helpless. So you're not able to help anyone. And I think this is a great way to get yourself prepared, but also be a part of the community and be a part of the outreach. So thank you for telling us about that. And I'll definitely link some information in the episode notes so that people can read more about it.
And there's another program that if I don't mention, Donna and Katie will kill me. She's the deputy director. Katie Feeney, like I said, is operations. We have a program that we've been doing for 3 years. It's called Hurricane, H-E-R. And the program was actually started in Arlington, Virginia, and it was a way to get young women, high school-aged women, interested and involved in emergency management and emergency management adjacent professions, whether it's the military, fire rescue, law enforcement, meteorology, things that have traditionally been male-dominated fields. And that's how it started. State of Florida did a program that 1 year did this hurricane program in Tallahassee. Donna went over to it to help out. She came back and she says, we need to do this program. It's a way to engage these young ladies, way to engage the youth, because that's something that I had been wanting to do as far as youth engagement, but really didn't quite know how to do it. So she came back and did it 1 year and it was a success. Then we had COVID, had to take off for a couple of years. We did it another year, and that's when Katie came on board, and it just kind of amped up how we did this. It's 4 days. It's in June. It will be June 11th through 14th, and we have speakers come in from the Sheriff's Office, from Fire Rescue, Dufuniac Springs, Police Department, Dufuniac Springs Fire, South Walton Fire District, their Lifeguard Beach Safety Program, Florida State University, their Center for Disaster Risk Policy comes in and does a tabletop exercise. They bring in their drones and let them fly drones and talk about how drones are used in emergency response. Professor Audrey Casserleigh comes in from FSU and talks about confident introductions and how to be more confident and careers. She's a terrorism expert, talks a little bit about that. Terrorism and national security expert, talks a lot about those types of things. There's team building exercises. They do an MRE cooking contest where they take meals ready to eat and they make these meals out of them. Not the way it's supposed to be, but they get creative. And it's just a phenomenal program. It is completely paid for by corporate and personal sponsors. So we've had DRC Emergency Services as our debris hauler. They come in and they do a little exercise on debris operations. And they're one of our corporate sponsors. Tetra Tech's one of our sponsors. Grand Boulevard, you know, there's all these different these corporations, prescription place. You know, there's a whole list of sponsors to help pay for this. And then they come in and they act as mentors for these young ladies. And it's just a phenomenal experience. You could do an entire podcast on Hurricane with Katie and Donna. And I kind of suggest you probably could, should. But
Absolutely.
It's an amazing program. And we're going to do it again this year, that week.
Well, I will definitely put that in the hopper because, you know, we need these things for our youth here. And we also, just in general, building community that's prepared, that's confident. These are the kinds of things we want to do with Highway 301 Podcast, just helping connect people to the Walton County, everyone in Walton County. So I really, really appreciate you letting me know about that. I did not know about it, and I will do some research. And I'm just grateful that you've taken the time right now. I will definitely follow up with you very soon.
Appreciate it. All right.
Thank you for listening to the Highway 331 podcast. If you are enjoying connecting through this podcast, please be sure to subscribe and share.